Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 40 in chapter 13 of Matthew in verse 14, where Jesus Christ is previously was speaking to the people around him, his own people, the multitudes, members of his own wife, in parables, because he did not want them to understand because they were not willing to understand. You see, it's sort of a cycle there. If you refuse the truth, God is going to refuse you the understanding of the truth. And so the disciples, when they heard him giving them parables, they knew that he's not going to explain to them, because he did not. And so they were wondering, why are you speaking to them in parables? I mean, if you want to speak to them, you obviously want to make them understand, but they realize he did not want them to. And so he's explaining to them why, and he's quoting Isaiah, the prophecy that he himself gave to Isaiah to give to his people. And verse 14 again, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. You see, that's a self-affliction that people bring on themselves. I don't want to hear, they say. Don't confuse me with the facts. You know, I've got my own doctrines, my own beliefs, you know, this is my church teachings, and I don't care what you say. You see, and some would say, our church, authority supersedes the authority of the Bible. You see, so I don't care about what it says in the Bible, because my church decides what is truth and what is not. You know, if it says Sunday is a Sabbath, to me Sunday is a Sabbath, and so forth, you see, for every given other doctrine. And that's what God is talking about here. He said his people got, they were at that point. And they've been that way for a long time already. Things were getting worse and worse, and they were going to get even much worse after him, after his death and resurrection, to the point where they even lost the knowledge that has always been there, that there are two divine beings. One is the El Elyon, and one is his messenger, and he's also a divine being, son of God. You see, ancient Israel knew it. That was not an issue to them. They never believed in monotheism as it became later on. What they did believe is that the one that was dealing with them is the true God. You see, the one that became Jesus Christ, while all the idols were not. So in that sense, you might say there was monotheism, but it's not a true monotheism. You see, because they still knew about the El Elyon, the one in heaven who is not personally dealing with them, but through his servant, his angel, his messenger, the Lord of hosts, the rock, the Savior, the Deliverer, the Redeemer of Israel, you see, the captain of the hosts of the armies of God, and of Israel, you see, who is also a deity, just like the other one is a deity, just not in absolute command, is under the authority of the other one, but both of them are divine beings. That was ancient knowledge, and yet look at what people have done with that, and then perverted all that. He says, that's the way they've chosen to be, so I'm not going to explain to them hidden truth, because to begin with, they're not interested in it. They've rejected it. You see? And they're to this very day that way, and until he chooses to open their eyes, nothing's going to happen. So you can try all you want to convert anybody. It doesn't work. You cannot convert a person. Only God can. Only when the Father decides to call someone and open their eyes and beget them, become their Father, giving them his spirit, and then he turns them over to Christ, you see, and then Christ puts his spirit in them. You see, there is the spirit of the Father and the spirit of Christ. See, the spirit of the Father is the Father, just like my spirit is me. You see, and the spirit of Christ is his. And, the two of them come and abide in us, as Jesus Christ made very plain, I will come and abide in you, the Father will come and abide in you. You know, he's going to come with his spirit, I'll come with my spirit, you see, which is us, and we'll all be together, you see, and every single one of us, and we have our spirit, so we're going to have sort of a trinity there. Well, instead of that, the pagan, has injected, the devil has injected that lie and deception that the trinity means that, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You see, well, how come the Father has his spirit and Christ has his spirit? Well, you've got two Holy Spirits. Yeah, so you've got four of them, you don't have a trinity. A lot of confusion. Well, that's what God is saying. People like that, I'm not interested in talking to them. That he's explaining to them. I may speak to them, but I'm not going to explain to them what it means. Only the ones who have an ear to hear, when the time comes, they're going to understand what they've known all along. And that's what he's saying here, and that's what he's saying to his own people Israel. The time will come when I'm going to open your eyes, and that's what Isaiah wanted to know. Or how long this situation is going to continue, of my people being in darkness and blindness and confusion, not knowing their right from their left. And God says very plainly there, Isaiah chapter 6, you go there, until the end of times, until, you know, there is coming a great destruction on the land, and only a remnant of them is going to be left. And he says very plainly, one-tenth. Only one-tenth of his people is going to be left alive from all what we know today, that is the ones that we do, you know, the ones that do, that is, all the nations of Israel. It's not only the Jews. Jews are just one part of it. But all the nations of Israel, Northwestern Europe, they all think they're Gentiles nowadays. In this country, the Americas, you know, Anglo-Saxons here, and all those that came from Europe, you see, of the same people. Australia, New Zealand, and you know, South Africa, wherever they are, all around the earth, these are all the children of Israel. They're all, you know, blind and ignorant, in confusion. They have forgotten their ancestry, even though the historians among them, and there are not many, still preserve that, and there are books there. There are books in the Congress where you can read about the ancient, you know, roots of the people of Israel, which now call themselves, you know, by different names. As they travel to different places, just like Jews are all around the earth, so are the children of Israel, but they have great concentrations, you know, in several areas. And when the time comes, God says, only one-tenth of them are going to be left alive. So there are hundreds of millions today, you know, you've got only 10% left from that. And some estimate about, you know, 400 or 500 million of them, half a billion of them, and so only 10% are going to be left alive, brought back to the land of Israel, and God is going to open their eyes and going to be his people. And then they're going to do their job of giving, you know, showing the light and dispensing the light that he gave them as a servant of the Lord, Jacob, to all the earth. And they're going to be the light to the nations. And that's when the nations begin to come. Not before that. Before that, only sprinklings of them. And those that think, you know, that they are Christians now, they're just playing their own games. And that's what he's saying here. And he says, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. They have closed it. I didn't do it. Because they did it, well, I said, you know, might as well just get it, you know, put you on the shelf, conclude you in blindness, if that's the way you choose to walk. And they've done it, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. And some would say, what's wrong with that? Well, God makes it very plain, you know, if I'm a physician, you're the patient, and you refuse to be healed, why should I heal you? But when the time comes, you see, when you come back to me, when you desire my path and my way, when you confess that you are a sick person and you need a help, you need, you know, physician, you need healing, and I'll heal you. And of course, God determined the time. It's not that we determined the time. He did, and he said at the end time, I'm going to do it. He's not going to allow them to continue to be blind anymore. He's got a plan. And he follows that plan. At his coming, he's going to begin to do that. And verse 16, but blessed, he says, are your eyes, in contrast to them, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Why? Because God opened their eyes to do so. Otherwise, on their own, they could not have done it. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. And the prophets of Israel, that he dealt with them, you know, they had all those prophecies, they prophesied, but they did not understand because God did not choose to always reveal to them the intent, even though he gave them the information, just like you read with Daniel, you see, in the end of chapter 11, when he gave the long prophecy, he says, I don't understand, what does it mean? And the angel told him, well, you go, you know, you go your way, you're going to sleep, that, you know, in the dust, that means you're going to die, and you'll come back in the resurrection, you see. And that's the time when the eyes of many are going to be opened and many will be purified, you see. And that's what he's saying here. You know, he chooses the time to reveal even to his own prophets what it means. And so he says to them, you are, in contrast, you're standing right here before me. I'm here in person and I explain to you all these things because they themselves, many things, did not understand. So the prophets themselves could not hear and understand. You can. And therefore he said, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, so he's explaining to them what it means, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart, and this is he who received the seed by the wayside. And that's what happens to many. You tell them the truth, they hear it, You know, they may say, oh, that's interesting, but, you know, it never sinks in. They're not searching for it. They're not digging for it. They do not go to the Bible to prove all things. To begin with, they rejected the law of God, so they really can't have a relationship with Him, a genuine one. So it's a facade relationship, a facade knowledge and understanding, superficial, you know, head Christians, as they call them, not heart Christians or heart Jew. As Paul said, you know, he's not a Jew that is just, you know, a Jew in the flesh, but a Jew inwardly, in the heart. One that allows the word to go deeply into the heart and to bear, you know, have roots there, you know, send roots deep down, and then, by nature, the nature that God created, it's going to bear fruits. It's going to have a lot of branches and leaves and fruit. And most people don't do that, you know, it just, you know, goes over their head. Well, God is not interested in having a relationship with people like that, and the majority of people are that way. And so he says, but he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Well, what's his problem? Yet he has no root in himself. He just received it with joy. A lot of people get excited when they hear about the truth, and then they go about their way forgetting all about it. They never allow it to lodge in their heart and to send roots and to continue the process. They're just like little children, you know. You give them a toy and they get excited over it, and then, you know, after a while they get bored with it and throw it away. They lose interest. I said a lot of people are that way too. And yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. He says, uh-oh, that's not for me. You know, I didn't bargain for that, you know, just for easy time, good time, you know. Well, I don't mind coming before you, Lord, and praising you and singing to you and say, oh, how great it is to praise the Lord and all that. Oh, that is fine. I'm willing to do that. I'm going to have a lot of fun doing it, you know. I'm going to get my kicks out of it. But don't give me hard times. You give me hard times, I'm taking off. Now, that's what many people do. And then he said to the third category, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, that's the second category actually, and care and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. You see, his heart is somewhere else and he cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. If you serve God, you'll be taken care of and you'll have, you know, whatever you need. And God will give you, you know, plenty. You're not going to be ashamed. And doesn't mean that all, you know, always you would have it, because God sometimes chooses not to give, you know, his people a lot. And they're in poverty, but they are in riches spiritually. You see? So that too, you know, is a part of the story. And he says, verse 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Why do you understand it? Because you are hearing it. You are willing to obey. That's what hear means. Hear, O Israel, means obey Israel. Not only hear with your ear. It doesn't mean anything. Because the devil and the demons, they hear. You know, they know that Christ is the Lord. Satan knows that Christ is the Lord. He has no doubt about it. He knows it. He's known him from the beginning of his creation. The demons know him too. What does that mean? You know, some people say, oh, I know the Lord. So what? That doesn't mean anything. You obey him. If you don't, it's meaningless. You're in the category of the demons and of the devil. That's as far as you went. You just believe in him. You know, some people think, you know, that's all I have to do. Just believe in Christ. Well, the devil believes in Christ too. He knows that he's the Son of God. And the demons oftentimes, when they saw Christ, they came and worshipped him. They say and acknowledge him as the Son of God. And that's where many people are. That's as far as they go. But they're not going to obey him. And so this category of people, they hear the word, that means they obey it, and therefore the understanding, as David said, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. You don't do his commandments, you don't understand it. You think you do. A lot of intellectual scholars out there, oh, they study the Bible, they study the everything they can. They've got concordances, they've got higher critics and all that. You know, they're highly intellectual, you see. But that's as far as they go. They're not obedient. They don't believe many things. They discard many things. They invent their own understandings because they really do not hear. When Christ said, he that is and has an ear, let him hear, he's saying, obey. Because if you don't, just, you know, hearing, it doesn't mean anything. That's what the majority of the scholars, you know, of any religion are. And the, you know, in particular, the religions of God, you see. That's where they are. And he said, these people, they hear and understand, and who indeed hears and it bears fruit and produces. You see? These are the real Makoi, so to speak. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30, depending on your ability and depending on your desire. You know, some people are by nature extremely passionate, and they go wholeheartedly. Others, you know, because of their nature, they're more conservative in nature. They're not as open, as voracious in their appetite for knowledge and truth and understanding, you see. So obviously, they're not going to produce as much. Apostle Paul was that type of a person. He went over and above and beyond. That was his personality, his nature, his upbringing, you know. That was the blessing that he had in being a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You know, those people were extremely disciplined, and they went to the tiny little, you know, little detail. And so that helped him an awful lot in his new path of understanding what he knew. You see, before that he knew a lot, but he didn't understand it. He thought he did. Now he really understood. And so he produced an awful lot because of that. And so in verse 24 we continue, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept. He didn't say while God slept. He didn't say while the angels slept. He said while men slept. He's going to explain to that who are those men. While men slept. You see, they were not awake as they should be. They were not soldiers on guard. They were falling asleep. So while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Because that's the nature of the devil. He waits until people fall asleep, or he puts them to sleep. You see, he helps them go to sleep. And then he comes in. And when you are not aware of it, that's when he, you know, did it to you. Then you wake up and you think, well, everything is fine, and you don't realize what's inside you. Verse 26, but when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. You know, they all grow together, and you don't recognize one from the other when they're still growing. And so the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Where did you get the tares from? So these are the good men that came to him are the ones that were asleep. In other words, the ministry. You see, the leaders. Because had they been awake, you know, those things would not have happened. And oftentimes that's what happens. And in the old days, you know, the leaders of the so-called church, you know, they just let everybody in. You know, like, you know, they were sort of people who were asleep. They were not opening their eyes to check them out to see, you know, are you really obeying God, or you just, you know, do your own thing. So you know, they were in the number game, so they wanted as many as possible. You know, this is what makes them great. You know, so we said, you know, let's go conquer people and win them for Christ. And they opened the broad gate, the broad way, and they let them in. You see, while the gate to the God of heaven and earth, to the truth, is narrow. You got to check them out one by one to see whether they are of God or not. Now, that's what's happening, and it's still happening to this very day. And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? And here he's talking about the angels. But he said, no. Of course, it's a parable, you see. You have to understand the point, you know, the parable, not the parable itself. So you cannot, you know, try to explain every single detail in the parable, because by itself it's meaningless. You have to know the point. But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also sprout, that is, uproot the wheat with them. And that's exactly what happens. When people, you know, come in, you know, so to speak, into the faith, you know, they bring their friends, they bring their family, relatives, and things like that. And, you know, if you remove the tares, you see, well, even the wheat, you know, maybe uprooted with them, you see. You know, if the father is a tare and the mother is not, you know, you take the father out, well, you know, he takes the wife with him, you see. And God says, well, let them grow together, and I'll take care of them at the end time. You know, they're going to think in their own mind that they are the wheat, but they are the tares, you see. They don't realize it. And that's exactly what happens to many. They think they are the wheat while they are the tares. They don't understand. They don't really obey. They play games, you know. They play religion, you see. Or some people call it, you know, they play church, or they play synagogue, or, you know, all kind of things like that. Most people are that way. You know, it's just a social thing. They just make believe. Those are not real people in the sight of God. Really growing and multiplying and producing and totally changing, you see, and wholly given to His path and His way and His righteousness. And they're not producing fruits. They're just there, you know. Cold bodies, you know, just there. You know, they just occupy the room. That's all. But He said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. So let them alone, you know, the real ones and the, you know, the other ones. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, and gather the wheat into my barn. You see? It's only the end time. So until that time, well, Christ said, by their fruit you shall know them. So if you don't see fruit in them, you know who they are. But, you know, if you tell them that, they don't believe you. They think, oh, no, I'm a good Christian, or I'm a good Jew, I'm a good this, or I'm a good that. You see? You know, I'm a good Muslim, you know, a believer, and you are the infidels, and so forth. They accuse one another. But God is the one who is going to expose them for what they really are at the end. And this is what He's going to, you know, end up with. Another parable He put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. You know, it's small. You know, so you think, well, it's small, no big deal. You know, it's not impressive. Who cares about it? You see, you know, I want the flashy things, the big, the impressive, you know, that big, huge conglomerate church. You know, I can put my trust in that, but, you know, a tiny little thing like that, you know, I don't know about that. Well, that's the way God starts things, from a little seed. That's every single one of us. You know, we started that way, a tiny little sperm, you see. You don't look at the beginning, you look at the end. And that's what He's saying here. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And so, you know, when he began calling members of his own wife and giving them the Spirit, you see, when the Father gave them the Spirit and begot them, then Christ, you know, began to live His life in them, there were very few. He called them the little flock. They were the one, the very few that went through the narrow gate. But that's going to be only the beginning, you see. It just begins like a little seed, but it's going to mushroom and become a huge tree. And when you don't understand the sequence of events and when it's going to happen, well, people begin to think, well, that happened 2,000 years ago. As time went by, you know, suddenly from the very few it became a huge organization or a church or whatever you want to call it. And now it is a church that strides, you know, straddling, you know, over the borders and the nations, you know, of the earth. And everywhere you find them, it's a big, huge tree, you see. Well, they don't realize you're talking about the tares. They too grow that way. But the people of God, until the end of time, God still calls them the little ones, and it's only at His coming that suddenly He says in 1 hour a nation is going to be born. That's when He's going to bring back all of Israel that are remnant at the time, 10% of them, obviously. And they will become His people, and then they're going to multiply, and He said, I will multiply you, and you will be just as many as if you have not been diminished. And then after that, you know, the second resurrection, and all of Israel are going to come back to life, you see. And in the process of time, the nations begin to obey God, they become the children. So you see, the kingdom is multiplying and growing. And when people do not understand the timing, and of course even the apostles, for the majority of their life, they did not understand that. They thought Christ was coming in their day. So when they saw a lot of people come, but you know, they were not fools, they knew who were the real ones and who were not. But shortly after their death, it suddenly exploded, and you know, and before you knew it, all the nations of Europe became, you know, members of that church, and then they spread into other places. And they thought, well, we are the church, we're the kingdom. And they call themselves the kingdom, kingdom of God on earth, Christendom. You see, all those were tares, and the day will come when they are going to find that out. You know, when it's unfortunately too late for many of them in the sense of this life, not in the life to come, because to begin with they're ignorant, they don't know the right from their left, and they're not going to be thrown to heaven, it's just going to be destroyed, you see. And then in the second resurrection they'll be brought back and God will open their eyes, and now they're going to have a choice. You either walk in the real truth, you know, not the fake one, the false one, you know, Or, you know, you have the other choice, be extinguished for eternity. Now, that's what he's saying here. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. Yeah, big one. So that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And ultimately, that's how the kingdom is going to be, but not now. You see? It is coming. That's why it says, thy kingdom come. When Jesus Christ begins to reign upon this earth, then he's going to set his hand to deliver all of humanity. You see? And then all the nations will be called by his name gradually. And he has 1,000 years to accomplish that. That's why it says he's going to sit there on his throne until all become subject, you know, at his feet and bow the knees before him. And only then, when all that happens, and the second resurrection happens, and all, and those two, you know, will have to be taken care of. And when that is over, it's only then that heaven in Jerusalem with the Father descend down to earth, and heaven is going to be on earth, you see. And that's where the people go that are going to be around God and his Christ, you see. They're going to be in heaven on earth, not up there. You see, that was a twist and the deception that was taught, and people believe it to this very day, including the Jewish community, which they did not at the time. And so that's what he's saying here. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Now, leaven was considered, on one hand, in the Passover as a symbol of sin because of the manner in which it works, you know, it spreads, and, you know, just like sin, you put a little sin in your mind, and pretty soon it grows and grows and grows. But leaven also is described as a positive thing. So you have to understand, when is it used for this thing, and when is it is used for that. And that's how we need to discern the scriptures, have a discerning spirit. People don't have that, you know, they go all either this way or that way, and they end up in a ditch. And so he says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, because he did not want them to understand, because to begin with they were not interested really in understanding, just like most of them, you see, to this very day, 99.9% of them to this very day, they're not really interested in understanding. You know, they just want to have a facade of a religion, makes them feel good, you know, and they're all part of the same group and party, they all go along, that's all they want. And the genuine among them are very, very few, you see. And that's unfortunately the tragedy, and will be that way with men until God sets up his kingdom on this earth, and then no more playing games. So that's what he does here with his own people, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world, speaking about the coming of Christ, which he himself inspired his prophets to record, you see. And that's the way, when he came to his own, that's the way he spoke to them. They did not understand. You know, he came to them in person in Mount Sinai and spoke to them, you know, very plain words. They did not want to retain that information, knowledge, and departed from it into idolatry, you see. And finally he came to the point where he said, well, that's the way you want it. We're going to, you know, put you on the shelf temporarily. You know, you'll have a measure of knowledge and understanding, but that's all. And then at the end time, I'll open your eyes, and then you would really see and understand and know. And that's why he said many times through the prophets, when I bring all these things to pass, then you will know that I am the Lord, that I am the Eternal. Which means that until then, you are not going to know it. You're going to have a facade knowledge. You see, head knowledge, intellectual knowledge, but not real. Knowledge that is in the heart that produces a lot of fruit because you are totally obedient. Not your own dictates and your own commandments, which you think that's a religion. A lot of people are devout, but not devout to the knowledge of God, to the law of God, to the Torah of God, but to a mixture of truth and error, which is vomit in the sight of God. And so they feel great. Well, I'm a very devout and religious person. Well, you may be in your own sight, in the sight of your own church, but not in the sight of God. That's why Christ will tell many, I don't even know you. I never knew you. Because it doesn't hang around with people like that. It's as simple as that. Though they may come and praise him all they want. Verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. Oh, now he went back to his own home. His father, you know, that is his mother and brothers were there. You know, he's hungry, he's going in to eat, lunch, whatever. And his disciples came to him, you know, to the house, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. So here it is. They ask Jesus Christ, why do you speak to them in parables? And he tells them, well, because it's not for them to understand, but it is for you. But they themselves don't understand it. Which means that unless the Father reveals his spirit and the truth to you, and unless Christ reveals it to you, you don't understand it. You can hear it all you want. You don't understand it. You don't get the point. You don't know the hidden mystery behind it. You see? And that's where most of us are, and we don't know it. We think, well, no, I'm intelligent. You know, I can read the Bible, and I read it many times. I know it by heart and things like that. But if God did not open your eyes to understand what he means, you don't know. You can kid yourself all you want. And that's where many are. And that's why he said, you know, they've got eyes, yes, you know, they can see, but they really don't see. You know, they don't see the hidden things. They see just the facade of it, and they've got ears, you see. But, you know, they really don't hear, you know. In other words, they don't understand the mystery that is behind it, the hidden mystery. And it's only when the Father reveals that to you by his Spirit, and it's only when Christ abides in you and reveals it to you by his Spirit, the tree, you know, the Spirit that leads us to truth, we don't know it. We just think we do. And that's how an awful lot of people have a relationship with God, based on ignorance, on a facade of knowledge and understanding. You know, just a superficial, and that's all they know. And so he said, he answered to them and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. You see, he didn't tell that to the people. And the field is the world. Oh, you know, all those people around you. And the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. And the sons of the kingdom, he's talking here in specific about the ones who are going to hear and to see and to understand and to obey. And they become the sons of the kingdom, even though all of Israel were called the sons of the kingdom. So you have to understand, you know, what it means, sons of the kingdom and sons of the kingdom. They are sons of the kingdom in the flesh, and they have the facade knowledge and understanding, and they are the sons of the kingdom in the spirit. At this point, all of them are Israelites, and in the future, all of Israel will be saved, and all of them will be the sons of the kingdom in the spirit, not just in the flesh. And then all the ones who are going to be grafted along the way, you know, the sprinklings among the nations, they will become the sons of the kingdom, you see, but still not fully until the end, until we're resurrected and truly become the sons of the kingdom, just like Christ himself. It says that he became the sons of God by the resurrection of the dead, from the dead, and until we are resurrected and become spirit beings, well, we will not be fully sons of the kingdom. So even for us, we're just spiritually now in spirit, but still, we're not all the way there. And that's what he's saying here. And in contrast, they are the sons of the wicked, and yet the sons of the wicked, they're of another spirit, and they think that they're the followers of God. And that's what he's saying here, and they are the majority. Verse 39, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. You see, he has a work on this earth. He has a church on this earth. He has many churches. He has many religions. He has many ministers. As Paul said, he appears as an angel of light. You see, and his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. So the overwhelming majority of the spiritual teachers on this earth are of the devil, and they don't know it. They may be nice people, good people, many of them sincere people, having a facade of, you know, of knowledge and understanding, or partial comprehension. That's as far as they go. They have no relationship with Christ. The Father did not beget them. He didn't put his spirit in them. They can claim, or claim all they want, that they have the Spirit of God. You see, they're concocting it in their own brains. You know, all the prophets of Israel, the false prophets, they all claim to have the Spirit of God. You know, working with them, speaking through them, they're all liars. So just because people, you know, think that they've got the Spirit of God doesn't mean they have it. If they had it, they would be obedient to the law, to his commandments, to his teachings, and they wouldn't be teaching lies. You see? That's how you flush them out. As he said, by the fruit you shall know them. And so it says, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. But you read in Revelation, you know, he's the devil that deceives the whole world. And the harvest is the end of the age. That's when it's happening. That's when the resurrection happens. The end of the age. Not every, you know, every time you die, you go to heaven. You know, which is a lie that false prophets have taught you, and you believe it. This is the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. That's coming at the end of time. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. You see, The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. You see? Without law. Why? They said the law is done away with. It's nailed to the cross. It's not for us. It's so that, you know, all other God, you know, the old harsh monster, as they call him, they think he's the Father, not knowing that this is Jesus Christ. All along, the Father never dealt with men on a personal basis. It's Christ that came down to Mount Sinai and married Israel and gave them the law, which they think, well, that the other God gave it to him. You know, that strict law, we've got the law of grace. You see? And they don't know it. They really believe what they say. You know, they're sincere in their deception. A person that walks into a minefield, he sincerely walks into a minefield, not knowing that he is. He may be warned, but he said, oh, no, that couldn't be. You know, I just walked here yesterday and nothing happened to me. Well, maybe at night something happened in between. The mines were planted there, and now you walk and you blow yourself to pieces. And that's what happened to many, and the faith of many was blown to pieces, to shreds, because they walk into the minefield of the devil and they don't know it, you know, as sincere as it may be. And that's what he's saying here. At the end time, just like all those people who will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, you know, we prophesied in your name, spoke in your name, preached in your name. You walked in our midst, you were in our midst, you know, a lot of wonderful works were being done. We did a lot of great works in your name. And he tells them, I never knew you. You see, you depart from me, you lawless people. That's what he's saying here. These people are lawless, and yet they think that they're my people. They call themselves by my name. A religion which I never invented, because he came to do the will of his Father, and he commanded us to obey the will of his Father and keep the commandments of his Father. You see? You don't find it in the world as a common knowledge. Most people are ignorant, and they've got their own religions, and they couldn't care less what, you know. Even when they read it, it doesn't mean anything to them. It goes over their head. They don't understand it. And so he says, those people practice lawlessness. And that's what he says to those people. Depart from me, you that practice lawlessness. You see? Even though you call yourself by my name. And so he says, he will cast them into the furnace of fire. That's a lake of fire. It's not, you know, as soon as you die, go to hell, so to speak. No, the end time is going to literally set a fire, and he's going to throw human bodies into it, and they will be consumed like stubble, as he said it through Malachi. They're going to burn, and they're going to become ashes, and he said, you're going to walk all over them with your feet. That's the truth of God, in contrast to the lies that are being taught to this very day, and many believe it. And he said, they will be cast into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, well, they're being, you know, taken, you know, kicking and screaming into the fire, and after that, they're gone. They're dead. They don't, you know, wail and gnash anymore. And then the righteous, in contrast, will shine forth. What's a righteous man? A person that walks in righteousness. What's righteousness? The law of God, the word of God, which tells you what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is holy, what is profane. You don't know the law of God, you say it's done away with, how would you ever know? As Paul said, without the law of God, I would never know what sin is. You see, there's no other way to find out what sin is, and when you reject it, you are in the dark. And then you believe lies. And so he says, this is what's going to happen there. The righteous, in contrast, will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. It's the kingdom of the Father. You see, it's not Christendom. It's the kingdom of God. It's the church of God. That is the Elohim, the El Elyon, the one that is known as the Father. And then Christ is under him. And the kingdom that Christ is going to reign over is the kingdom of the Father, and he's going to reign for 1,000 years, and then the Father will come down with heaven in Jerusalem, as you read in 1 Corinthians 15 in the resurrection chapter, and then Christ will turn over everything to him, the reign of authority to him, and he will be subject to him and sit under him. You see? That's the kingdom of the Father that people say, well, that's the God of Israel, the God of the Jews. That's how deceived people are, and blind and ignorant and, you know, naked and wretched and poor and miserable, and they think that they see and understand and comprehend. And they're going to have a rude awakening. You see, the overwhelming majority of them at the end of time. And so he says, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears to hear, let him or let her hear. Not many do. Intellectually, they may say, well, I guess that makes sense, but that's as far as they're going to go. Well, he's talking about obedience. If you have ears to obey, You obey it. You walk in this faith. You obey the law of God. You ask God, what is your will? What is your law? What would Jesus do? When Jesus came down on Mount Sinai, he gave them a law and says to them, this is what you do. And so people in their deception say, what would Jesus do? And on the other hand, they say, well, Jesus is not the God of Israel. The Father is. And Jesus nailed the cross. That is, you know, was nailed to the cross. And he nailed the law also to the cross. And it's not for us. And besides, you know, he did it for us, so we don't need to do it. And so forth. You see? That's how deceived people are, as sincere as they may be. That's why he said, in vain do you worship me. You know, you can praise me all you want, but you do it all in vain because you're teaching for doctrines the commandments of man, and your fear of me is taught by the precepts of man. He's not interested in that. You see? He doesn't know you. You can claim all you want that you know him. And then verse 44 again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he had and buys that field. And many ministers, you know, wax eloquently about these parables, and they don't know what they're talking about in their ignorance and blindness. You see, the thing that they understand it, you know, they just read the facade of the words. They have no eyes to see, they have no ears to hear, they have no heart to understand, because they shut their eyes and stop their ears and close their hearts. And therefore, God is not communicating to them what it really means, the hidden truth, and the Spirit does not reveal to them the truth, yet the thing that they do know and understand. And that's where the majority of the people of God are, unfortunately, the people of Israel, who most of them think they are Gentiles, and as well others, as if, you know, who follow their own lies and they think, well, you know, we too are Christians. Verse 45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, how many people are willing to give up their church, give up their doctrines, give up their friends, give up their family, give up, you know, all, everything that they've been taught all their lives, and go for the truth which people call, you know, spitting Jewish. How many people are willing to do it, keep the Sabbath? They call it Jewish. Why do you keep the Jewish Sabbath? That's the Sabbath of the Lord, of Jesus Christ. Why do you call it Jewish? Leviticus 23, Jesus Christ said, these are my feasts. These are the feasts of the Eternal, of the Lord. They're not Jewish, they're not Israelites, they're not anybody's. You see? Well, how many people believe that and follow that? And then all the laws that he gave them there, he said, these are my laws, you walk in them or else. And he said through the prophet Malachi, unless you return to the Torah of Moses, my servant, which I commanded, I, Jesus Christ, gave it to him in Sinai, I'm going to bring utter destruction on all of you. So you can play all the games that you want. You see? Your day is coming. What are you going to do then? Yeah. You're going to say, the devil made me do it? It's not going to help you. That's what Christ said again and again. He that has an ear and hear, you know, that is an ear, let him hear, you know, before it's too late. Again, verse 47, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. You know, not every kind is good to eat, but he just gathered everything. And verse 48, he says, which when it was full, they drew to shore, the net, that is the fishermen, drew it to shore. You know, spiritually speaking, but the fishermen, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but they threw the bad away. Again, that's happening at the end of time. But in between, God says, there's going to be a lot of bad fish there, you know, thinking that they are the good fish, and they're not. And they even, you know, use this sign of the fish, you know, you see it all over the place, and they think they're the good fish. And they've been caught by the fishermen, you know, Jesus Christ, and they went out. They were caught by another fisherman, and they don't realize it. And so it says, so it shall be at the end of the age. Everything is at the end of the age. You see? And people believe, you know, in heaven and hell. Obviously, they don't believe that. He says, at the end of the age, the angels will come forth. That's the judgment day for all. It's not when you die and you go, you know, go up, you know, before the gate, you know, the pearly gate of Peter and all those, you know, I mean, crazy stories and fables and superstitions that people tell as if they are true. They believe them. You see? These are all of the devil. They're not of God. They don't know it. How tragic. He says, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, which is going to be lit at the end of time. you see, the lake of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, you know, as they're dragged, you know, kicking and screaming into the lake of fire, and that's the end of them. And Jesus said to them, he's speaking obviously about people who willfully reject. He's not talking about the people who were ignorant, didn't know the right from their left, you see, because all of them are going to be given opportunity to see the truth for the first time in their life. So you have to understand again what he's talking about. He's not talking about wholesale, everybody's going to be thrown in there. No, he's talking about only the ones who are going to willfully become incorrigible. No matter what, they're not going to believe. You see? So again, you know, there is that false doctrine of heaven and hell, and everybody who doesn't believe in Christ, doesn't confess him, is thrown into the lake of fire. And that's not true either. Only the incorrigible among them. And Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." So you have to put the entirety of the story together, he said, in essence, to them. Then you understand what you're talking about. And because people haven't done that, they're in ignorance. And they don't understand. They think they understand. A lot of people reject what they call the Old Testament, go directly to the New Testament, and they don't understand the story. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point again. This is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.